Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to share the word for a little bit. We're going to pray for people. We're going to worship again, allow the Holy Spirit. Let's just thank the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here now. We are confident in the word that says where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. The Bible says we are laborers together with you. So holy presence of God, you are here. Healing presence of God, you are here. Delivering presence of God, you are here now. Saving presence of God, you are here now. We just want to acknowledge that. We're not going to hope for these things someday. You are present now. And when we reach up in faith, Father, we receive our miracles in this atmosphere. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So a while ago, we have an offering to take. I'm going to take that at the end, okay? So if you have an envelope or you want to, we're going to do our Sunday night offering, I'll take it at the end just so you know. If you want to give, there's an envelope underneath, and then we'll show you ways to give on the screen. So a while ago, my wife had a dream, and how many people know that sometimes God will give you a dream, and it just stands out to you as very profound, okay? Sometimes you have like this freaky dream and you don't know if it was God or not God, and then you kind of forget about it. By the end of the day, it's just out of your mind forever. But sometimes you have a dream and it sticks with you forever. And so usually when that happens, that means it's a spiritual dream, and a spiritual dream never grows old. Things in the spirit never grow old. If you've had an if you had a spiritual experience with God, it always seems fresh. If it happened 27 years ago, you can talk about it like it happened last night, because in the spirit, things don't get old. So sometimes you have a dream, and it's just, you just knew it was from heaven. So my wife had this dream, and she woke up, and she said, I had a dream, and correct me if I'm wrong, I had a dream, and God showed us our houses in heaven, our mansions in heaven. And I'm like, oh, our mansions? She's, yeah, I had one and you had one. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So, you know, like down here we're sharing houses, but like up there we like get our own house, right? So she described her mansion that God had for her, and it was very beautiful and ornate. It was just like gorgeous, right? And something that obviously like her heart, whatever. And then she said, but yours didn't look like mine. Yours was different. It was kind of like, it was like big and square and like, it wasn't, what's that? Like a long rectangle building. Like a long rectangle building? And so we were in Fort Worth, Texas. We were in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is literally, I got this off Google Maps. We drove by this building, and she said, that's what your mansion looked like. It looked like this. And I'm like, well, at least it's big, right? Like, lots of rooms, right? It, like, took up a block. And so it was just like, I'm like, oh, cool, whatever, you know, like, That's interesting, right? So hers was beautiful and ornate and gorgeous, and mine looked like an AT&T building from 1920 or something, but that's fine. And then while I was at the conference, I don't think it was in the service, it might have been back at our house where we were just praying and seeking God. God gave me this Holy Spirit thought, okay? And it has to do with generosity. And he spoke this to my heart, and it was in a moment. He said, every generous act and every item given with a pure heart goes up before you in heaven. Okay? So as we give and as we're generous and as we give liberally out of a pure heart, okay, what we're giving here actually goes up ahead of us into heaven. And so, for instance, when, like the last time we moved, we had like this storage container. We actually had two storage containers filled of furniture. We bought antique furniture and all this stuff. Like one day we were going to throw it online and sell it and things like that. And it's just like, we had all this furniture in there. I'm just like, I'm just texting people, who wants free furniture? Who wants this? Who wants this antique stuff? Who wants, you know, people said, I'll come. Go ahead. I'm just giving it away. I'm giving away my furniture. I don't care if I don't make money. I don't care where it costs. Be blessed. If you can use it, you can have it. And people came and took my stuff. And my thing was like, I pray you make a lot of money. Because I don't even care. I just want to sow it like a seed, right? And so it wasn't as much to get rid of it, but to be a blessing, right? And then in my garage, over years and years of like being a Christian, we collected a lot of like books, like paper books, all Christian books, things like that. So I texted a bunch of people that I know, and I said, hey, come on over to my house and come into my garage and go shopping. Any book you want, just take it for free. And we have people in there, man, I feel like I'm like winning the lottery. Look at like, so they're just walking out with all books and Bibles and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't want to sell them. I want to sow them, right? If you can be blessed by this, if you added up all the cost of the books, it could be expensive. But in my mind, it's, to me, sowing in love, right, is more important than, like, trying to get something monetary out of it. I have, this past year in March, we got 9 chickens. We have three kids and a grandson, and I brought them to Tractor Farm Supply, and they all picked out 4 chicks, right, to bring home. And then it was so sad, you guys. They took the last chick out of one of those tubs. You guys know the metal tubs at Tractor Farm Supply? And there was one little chick left in there alone. You left me alone. You left me alone. I'm so sad. And we're like, oh my goodness, we gotta grab the last one. He's all alone. He's gonna be so we come home with 9, right? It should have been 8, 2 each, but we have 9. And they're all hens. And they lay eggs. We bought them because they were type that lay eggs. And so guys, we get a ton of eggs, right? So every like 2 days, we have like a little more than a dozen eggs every 2 days. So you can like up in my counter, like they pile up. So I'm just like giving eggs away to people. Like I'm not like gonna be like, I'm gonna store up eggs, you know, just in case the Antichrist comes, I'm gonna have tons of eggs. My mind doesn't even think like that. My mind isn't even like wired that way. I'm like, who can I give eggs to? So I text people, do you want eggs? Yeah, do you want eggs? So I'll be coming to church, giving away 6 dozen here, 4 dozen here. Has anyone ever got eggs before? Raise your hand. Any eggers? Okay, cool. So if you need some eggs, come. We'll get you in line. Vinny's smart. Vinny comes to church with an empty bag and egg cartons. Like, here, you can fill these up. I'm like, you got it. So again, it's just the act of like giving, like this natural, like, how can we give? How can we be a blessing? How can my life be just on this mode of blessing, okay? And like I said, that came to me. Every generous act, every item given with a pure heart goes up before you in heaven. Every piece of money that you hand someone, when you bless them and you're doing it in the name of the Lord. So our inclination, my wife and I, is to be generous and to sow. And even about 16 months ago, the Holy Ghost really challenged us to up our generosity game. So I call it, we have like this default offering mode, where like if we're going to take up an offering for a speaker, we're going to take up an offering for a thing, we just kind of have like, okay, yeah, I'll give $50 or $100. Whatever your default is, I'm going to give this to the Lord. And he like really challenged me, get out of default mode and challenge it and up it, like 10x it. If I remember, I'm just throwing numbers out there so you guys understand. I remember 3 years ago, my wife and I went to the Mark Hankins ministry conference that we were here. And we prayed. We didn't want to just go and be receivers. We wanted to also go and be sowers. We wanted to sow into that ministry. Be givers as well, beforehand, right? So we prayed, and the Lord told us, sow $800 when you get there. So the first thing we did in the first offering was sow $800. And we thought we like hung the moon. Yeah. But then the Holy Ghost 16 months ago challenged us and said, you need to up your game. Up your, like whatever you're thinking, up it. Here's why. God wants to get more to you And the measure you give is the measure that you receive. So if you're stuck at a measure, he can only measure you back what the proportion that you give. And again, I'm only saying a number so that you guys understand. This helps people. It gets their minds in a different thing. So we went the next year, and we were going to give again, but we were going to give $5,000 into the ministry. That was our goal. So we set a new standard. We challenged where we were. Remember, we thought we were something big at $800. And we're like, someone said this once, and I like it. If you can feel the money leaving your hand, you're going to feel it when it comes back to you. If you don't feel it when it leaves, you won't know it when it comes back, right? So the measure that you give, so just really challenging us in our generosity, in our giving, in what we do, as far as that goes. And so the Holy Spirit gave me this thought in while we were down there. Every act of generosity goes up before you in heaven as a brick. This is how I saw it. As a brick in your heavenly home. As you give someone an egg, there's another brick being laid in your heavenly home. There's an egg. Yeah, there's our mason over there. So as you give and you're generous and you have a lifestyle of giving, just it was like I saw it in the spirit that I'm actually building my heavenly habitation in heaven through my generosity on the earth. And then when I think back to my house and I'm like, oh yeah, we gave a lot. Like we're not done. We have years to live. We have people to bless. We have things to do. Amen. You do not want to show up in heaven and have this small, tiny house. It will tell a lot about your generosity on the earth. Amen? You want to tie what you do on the earth to what happens in heaven. Every act of generosity goes up before you in heaven as a brick in your heavenly home. The size of your mansion will be based on your generosity. That's what the Holy Spirit like flashed in me in a moment. And if we look here in 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19, it says this, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. Everyone say generous and willing to share. That's the command of the Lord. Be generous and willing to share. In this, that way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may not take hold of the life that is truly life. You are laying up treasure for yourselves, a firm foundation. Every act of generosity, you're laying your foundation in heaven before you. Amen? It says here, if I back up a little bit, this verse, he's actually commanding the rich. He's commanding the wealthy. 1 Timothy, if we back up one, command those that are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Okay? We're to be rich. We're to be rich towards God. So if you think of it, why do you want to spend all your bricks on the earth? Some of us, we're going to build our home, we're going to do our little side project, we're going to buy our Mustang or whatever it is, and we spend all our bricks here. And so we build our world here, but there's nothing being sent up for our treasure in heaven. There's nothing being sent up towards our mansion in heaven. I was looking at Rob Reports. Does anyone know what Rob Report? It's like a luxury something. And they had Rick Ross, the rapper. Anyone familiar with Rick Ross? He's not a now rapper, but he's been around for a long time. And they had this article on Rick Ross, and he's showing all of his stuff. Can we see it? He's showing in the article. He has the Gucci outfit. He has the private plane with his name on it. He has the, I'm gonna assume this is a Rolls Royce or a Bentley. Other cars, Ferraris in the background. And in this thing, it's just showing off all his wealth, okay? Showing his collection of watches, showing his collection of wine, showing his collection of stuff, okay? And I'm not an anti-prosperity person at all. I think Rick Ross should have whatever he wants to do with his hard-earned money. Okay? That's totally up to him. But if he is a believer and spends all his bricks on the earth, he may end up in heaven in a very tiny hostel, sharing some space with some other non-generous believers. And I'm sure when you stand before God in your teeny tiny hut that you built by your generosity, that there's gonna be this feeling of like, I think I missed it. I think I missed it. I think I spent all my bricks on myself. I think I laid my bricks on earth and I sent none up ahead of me to heaven. Amen. We want to be heavenly minded. We want to know that our treasure is in heaven. Amen. Matthew 19:21 says this. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." There is literally tied to your giving a treasure in heaven. You can't bring anything from this earth. The Bible says that you can win the world and still lose your own soul. Okay? So you came naked into the world and naked you will leave. Nothing can come with you to heaven. But you can lay up treasure in heaven that will be waiting for you based on your generosity here on the earth. Okay? And like I said, I have no problem with people having stuff. Okay? You should all be believing God for something. You should be believing God for the best. But you can't do that at the expense of being generous at the same time. We need to have a generous spirit. We need to have a kingdom-minded spirit. We need to be thinking of the kingdom of God and how, honestly, I want to challenge you, how can you increase in 2024 the giving that you give into the kingdom? What is your default mode? What have you done for years past? Where are you at? Do you even think of this stuff? Do some of us need to start giving into the kingdom? When you give into the kingdom, you're giving into the work of God, which is after his heart. When you give to the kingdom, it goes for kingdom work. And that's what God cares about, that his work is being done on the earth, that it's being funded in the earth. And as we give and we're generous in his name, that's stored up for us as a treasure. Let me ask you, how big is your house in heaven? How many bricks have you sent up ahead of you? What are you doing to be generous every day? Around you. Some of you might just be buying a cup of coffee for someone in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "Whatever you do unto the least of them, you've done unto me." That's offering up treasure in heaven. You can have great wealth in heaven, but it's not the wealth you bring from the earth, okay? You can live a Rick Ross lifestyle and be in poverty in heaven, okay? And like I said, I'm not against that lifestyle. I'm for it as long as there's balance, okay? I'm not against anyone prospering, okay? So, let me read that again. Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered and said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Everyone say this, give, and then come follow me. Give, and then come follow me. Give, and then come follow me. That's what Jesus said. Give, then come follow me. Give, then come follow me. Give, store up treasure, then come follow me. It costs us nothing to believe in Jesus, but it will cost you something to follow Jesus. Get that settled in your heart right now. God wants you to be generous. He wants you to think of those who are in need. He wants you to live a lifestyle where your default mode is giving. Give and come follow me. That's the pattern that he had. Now, Barnabas How do we become great in God? I think we have to pass the giving test. Okay, we want to do great things for God. We want to do more for God. But some of us are stuck in our more for God because we're stuck in our generosity towards God, okay? And I want to look at Barnabas real quick here in Acts chapter 4. And the worship team, you can come up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we spent time with our testimonies tonight. Being great in God. Everyone say this, I want to be great in God. Acts 4, we read about Barnabas, and it says here in verse 32, the multitude of believers was in one heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was their own, but they shared everything they owned. With great power, the apostles continued to give their testimony about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. There were no needy ones among them because those who owned lands and houses would sell their property, bring the proceeds from the sales, and lay them at the apostles' feet for distribution to anyone that had need. Just so you know, no church should tell you to go sell your houses and your lands and to bring it to the church, okay? That, what they were experienced there was a revival in the power of God, and in that spirit, there was just such a generous spirit. People were willingly selling excess homes and lands and things and bringing it to meet the needs of the people. That's not something that someone can force you to do. It's something that just happens naturally by the Holy Spirit. These guys were in revival, and generosity was part of that revival. But we see here, verse 36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think this is important to see. And they name him by name. They name it, said Barnabas had a field, he sold it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. After that time of him doing that act, he actually had some prominence in the Word of God. When Paul was first converted, and Paul was a major player in the New Testament, when he was first converted, all the Jews were afraid, the new Christians, they were afraid of him because he was persecuting Christians. So they're like, I don't think this guy is for real. And Barnabas found him and said, this guy's for real. He's preaching the Word of God, and Barnabas brought Paul to the apostles and showed him to him and set up, using his name, Paul's ministry to the church. And Paul got close to the church and began to preach the Word. It was like Barnabas discovered Paul and brought him into where God had him. After that, Barnabas and Paul went and preached to the Gentiles and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. So we see Barnabas coming into a place of ministry, but what preceded that place of ministry? A place of giving. A place of him selling some land, bringing it, and laying it down. He passed the giving test. Some of us want to do more with God. We want to do more in the kingdom, but sometimes our generosity is just at a worldly level. It's at a level where we're just taking care of ourselves, where God wants us not just to take care of ourselves, but he wants us to take care of the kingdom. Some of us need to go further with God, but we need to go further with our giving as well. How do I know this? Like I said, 16 months ago, God really challenged us, my wife and I, up your generosity level. Up your generosity level. What I was seeing is God wanted to up our level and what he wanted to do with us, and we had to pass the giving test. And as you pass that giving test, God allows you to do more in his kingdom. Generosity is key. Being great in God involves generosity. Now, there's a preacher. Some of you may not know him. His name is Jesse Duplantis. Raise your hand if you have heard of him. Okay, so maybe about half. Jesse Duplantis is probably in his 70s now, and he's been around for a while. And he's a very, very blessed person. He's very blessed, okay? And I began to notice a blessed person is always a giving person. It isn't like they're just blessed and they hold on to it and build a kingdom on the earth for themselves. They are literally distribution centers of blessing. And one of the stories, well, he'll say things like this, I will be in the mall Like when you get to a place when you give so much, God also brings it back to you. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. So if you're a sower, God gives you seed. And you can't outgive God, so as you're trying to give, it keeps coming back. He said, I'll be at the mall, and people I don't know will walk up to me and hand me hundreds of dollars. Brother Jesse, God just told me to give this to you. I want to be a blessing. And he said, it happens so much that I know this is not coincidence. I'll be at my house, and people will be throwing bags of money over my fence. And then hundreds will be across the lawn, and I'll be out there picking up money. And I'll come in the house with a brown bag, and my wife is like, what is that? Where did that come from? You know, someone threw it over the lawn. But here's a testimony. If you look at his testimony, he was a rock musician in the 70s, and he said he was making really good money. And he gave his life to Jesus in Boston, Massachusetts. How many people know that that's this is the spiritual capital of the world right here, Boston, Massachusetts? And he said he got saved in Boston, Massachusetts, and God changed his heart immediately. And so he stopped living for the devil, and he went to a church, his first church, and he said he got paid, and he had $7,000 in his pocket, and it was the 1970s. So let's do a little money inflation. Let's say that's about like $27,000 now, right? So about $7,000 then. Picture having $27,000 in your pocket. And the pastor was up there, small little church in Louisiana, and he was talking, we got to build on our building. We got to add a new thing to this building. God wants us to, you know, add a new room. And he said, after the service, as a new Christian, he went up to the pastor and he said, how does $7,000 look? And the guy was like, But something stood out to me. It's like, this guy has been an extravagant giver from the beginning. Like some of us, it's just like, we're gonna give our tithe, and maybe we'll give an offering now and then God's dealing with me. No. God wants to get you to extravagant, but he started off on day one, extravagant. Sowing extravagant seed. And that, as a result of that, the measure that you give comes back. Whenever you see someone who's blessed in the kingdom of God, you know it's a giveaway that they're a giver. They're a giver. You may not see their giving, you may not know what they give, but when you see the blessing of God on them, you know they're a giver. Amen? Never judge anyone in the body of Christ who has a blessing. In the body of Christ, you get your blessing through giving. And if you see, I was kind of blessed today. One of my kids had a birthday party, and we had people over from the church. And I'm looking at all these young people's cars. Like, these people are, like, driving good cars, like nice cars. I'm like, wow, they're blessed. I was just like, it's not a sign of, like, oh, all these people are worldly. All they care about is cars. I look and say, there's a giver, because God's given back. Did you notice, I like this, did you notice Mikey's testimony when he said, and God challenged me to give a seed at that, and then he got a call that he got a fight in Canada that upped his salary more than he was asking? Not an accident, right? That's not an accident. Those things are released in generosity. Those things are a result of being generous. The windows of heaven open upon us as we go ahead and we sow into the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you guys have a song before I close in prayer? All right, you guys come out. Let me close. Do you like how she said that? We do. Doesn't matter.
Mikey said that I could share this because he forgot, but also he, like, we have a foundation and we give offerings and we set like a goal to how much we're going to give, and God challenged him to give because he's just been believing God that he would be out of debt this year. And that one phone call completely set him free from all of his debt. So he's been believing God, and in one phone call, he's totally debt free, which is the biggest thing that he's been believing God for, which is really awesome. That's the blessing of God.
But yeah. Listen, you guys, he's been sending up bricks to heaven, you guys. He's been sending up the bricks. He's building his foundation. He's laying up a treasure in heaven. You can't take treasure here to heaven. You can't take your sneakers. You can't take your car. You can't take your plane with your name on it to heaven. But you can send up treasure in heaven in your generosity and in your giving. Amen? We're going to go ahead and receive our offering right now. If you want to give, there are envelopes ahead of you. We're going to take up our regular tithe and offering. Behind me are ways to give, you guys. Some of you just may want to give because you want to sow seed. And if you've been inspired, I encourage you to do so. You can give to Venmo at living-word.net, in person, text, online giving, in the app. Remember, as we give, we always give unto the Lord. We give unto the work of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we don't see an offering as some. Look up here, you guys, before I pray. I am never going to apologize for talking about money and talking about the kingdom of God and the work of God. It's too important. Absolutely too important for you to understand the economy of heaven, for you to understand this. You may not be at a point where you totally understand it now. Some of you may feel uncomfortable and be like, you know, like, all you want is my money. I don't care if you feel that way. Someday you'll come along. You'll come around and you'll realize, you know what? I give my way into the blessing of God. I give because the mission of heaven is too important. Amen? So as we give tonight, let's give joyfully. The Bible says when you give, no one can force you. No one can make you. We give out of a joyful heart. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you as we give today. We do have our mind on heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. But we do understand that as we give, even with our tithe, the windows of heaven are open and you pour us out a blessing. You're just too good. You're too good. We would give even if there wasn't a blessing, but you went ahead and said it. You would open up the windows of heaven and bless us. Father, I thank you for all the people, God, like for Mikey and others who have experienced that blessing. You are a faithful God. You are a good God. Father, we expect to, like I saw those young people driving these cars, I can see their givers. God, I can see their givers and that you're pouring your life out to them. Let that get on everyone, Jesus. Let them be kingdom-minded. Let them be heavenly-minded. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,